Today we're gathered to honor, obviously, mothers and grandmothers, and the text that I have chosen is a text that actually is unique in the sense that it talks about both mothers and grandmothers. Today we celebrate the influence of those ladies on our lives, and I realize that there are many people who did not have ideal mothers or grandmothers in their life. I am also aware that some mothers feel that they have failed because of the waywardness of their children. But I want you to consider that God must feel that way too because of the waywardness of all of us, His children. You are not responsible for that. You are to train up a child in the way he should go, and then in his old age, the Proverbs tell us, he will not depart from it. Today we look into the lives of mothers and grandmothers whose lives do not reflect perfection, but rather faith and love they experienced and passed on to their offspring. It is the goal of every parent to teach his children by the example of their lives. They say that a man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he. But mightier power and stronger man from his throne has hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It was something that Abraham Lincoln spoke and said. It was something that was true then. It was true in Moses' time. It's true today. We need to thank God for His presence in the influence of those women who have been in our presence and for their sharing of His experience with them. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for all those who have come this day and all of those mothers and grandmothers who are here, for all of those mothers who've struggled to make ends meet, who have sacrificed so that their children might have more, for all of those mothers who gave their faith away in simple things, in the way they live their lives, and the attitude of being blessed, showing us where to go when we were in trouble, what the rock of their faith was. We thank You for those grandmothers who stepped in and played that part in our lives. We thank You for them, Father. For they have stepped in sometimes when a mother was not available to help raise those children in ways that are pleasing to You. They may not have preached the Word directly from the Bible, but they preached each day by the guidance of Your Holy Spirit, a light that was shining into our lives. They might have told us that we couldn't go out and play at the clubs all Saturday night and not go to church on Sunday morning. Might have told us that our clothing was not right, our pants were too low, our skirts were too high. But they taught us to respect the One who had created us. And we thank You for them. We thank You for the mothers that have already passed into Your care. We thank You for their influence, for our grandmothers, many of whom are not here. But we thank You, Father, and ask You to continue to bless us through the young women who are here, that they may catch that same spirit their mothers and grandmothers had that led us through. Father, I pray that You will cast my words out. They're totally inadequate. They're worthless. They're meaningless. But every word that proceedeth from Your mouth is a word from God Himself, and they are words of life and death. May we hear the words today. May we understand your commandment that we honor our mothers and our fathers. And may we come to understand how much you have invested in each of us to share. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you might turn with me to the second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. Now, Paul is talking to his disciple, one who went with him and one he chose to share his heartaches and his triumphs in the ministry, to Timothy. And he says to him in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." What Paul does is Paul looks at Timothy and he says, "You didn't just crawl out from a rock someplace. You actually came to know Christ at your mother's and your grandmother's knee." That great, genuine faith. The Apostle Paul was moved by the kind of faith that Timothy had, a complete, genuine, non-hypocritical faith, a faith without pretense or deceit, a real faith. Paul wrote to Timothy in his letter, "The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Peter uses the same word to all the believers who are scattered throughout the Roman Empire when he says that they should purify their souls for a sincere love of the brother, fervently love one another from the heart. The sincere faith Timothy had received from his grandmother and mother was his inheritance. You know, sometimes we learn things from our parents that we carry on into life. That is the purpose of having parents, after all, is to train us up so that we can get out and fly around on our own. You know, in England, they pass on the trade that they did to their sons, and quite often people were simply called John Taylor because he was a tailor, and his father was a tailor, and his grandfather was a tailor, and it was a skill that they had passed on from one generation to another. Many of us have come from families where perhaps they didn't do exactly what we do today, but there was something in their training that allowed us to stand in their shadows. That is that kind of sincere faith, that faith that is really for each of us. It is a compound word in Hebrew. It is made up of two words in Greek. The words are non-clay-like, or non-hypocritical. That this is a real faith, a faith that was sincere from the bottoms of their feet to the top of their head. There was nothing in it that someone could say, yes, he talks a good game, but he doesn't play the game the same way he talks it. It was sincere. One of our problems today is that people are not sincere. One of the people I went to see yesterday, Dr. Jim Mulkey, and Dr. Mulkey has a kind of dementia, and I've been seeing him every week for years, for over a decade. And he is a great man. He once was a man of privilege and power within the Christian community. And now he sits in his home and he thinks the thoughts of an aging man. But those thoughts are still tempered by what he was taught as a child, by those same words of comfort and faith. He sometimes says, you know that, he's speaking of me to my wife yesterday, he says a lot of things, but I know he is sincere. Sincerely wrong, perhaps, but he's sincere. You know, that's a word that we don't hear too often. When someone says that you're sincere and faithful, it means that you are a person of character. Too often our politicians are not sincere about what they say. They don't show that character. But Timothy had it, and the source of it was his mother and his grandmother. The word grandmother is used here. It's the only time that it is used in the Bible. Now, there are various grandmothers that are talked about, but this is the only title that is given to a particular woman. She was raised in the love of God and was instrumental in passing this faith on to her daughter Eunice, who in turn passed it on to her son Timothy. Paul knew these two women personally. He had met them in his missionary travels. They were at Lystra. Here's a city that he went to where there was just filled with non-believers, filled with Romans and people from that part of the country. There were very few Jews there. There were so few Jews there that they couldn't even form a proper synagogue. There weren't 10 Jewish men available to form that kind of proper synagogue. And it's no wonder that Eunice, looking for a husband, had to look other places than for a Jewish husband. She married a Greek who named his son Timothy. But you will notice that these are the things that were passed down, this sincere, genuine faith, passed from grandmother to mother to child. These are things that we pass down. They're the inheritance from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, Paul once again talks about the influence of his parents and grandmother to Timothy. He says to Timothy, in the midst of talking to him about false teachers and all kinds of trials and tribulations that are going to come his way, he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them." Knowing that your mother and your grandmother stood as firm in their faith, as Paul has said, as they could be. You were assured of the validity of what they said by the life they lived, because they lived it out. And so in times of trial, in trouble, this is some place that we need to fall back to. We need to understand the faith of our fathers, that holy faith, that faith that gives us the power to go through the trials and tribulations of today. People are always saying that today is worse than it's ever been. Oh, there's much more gun crime. Well, in fact, statistics show there is less gun crime today than there ever has been. Yeah. Shocking, isn't it? You never know that if you watched only CNN or CBS or MSNBC or something. But the fact is that that's the truth. The truth is that these people who lived in the first century were surrounded by non-believers. You still live in a country that says that it's Christian. 80% of the people I meet are not churched when I go out as a chaplain, but they still tell you that they're Christian. Why? Because their father or their grandfather was a deacon in a church, or he had some instrumental influence on their life. And so they cling to that. Yesterday I was at a memorial service. Many of the people don't go to church. The people I was there speaking on behalf of were people who hadn't been in a church building in about 20 years. And yet it was a faith-filled experience when they talked about the influence of the people. It wasn't being in the church that made them holy. It was having Christ in them that made them holy. And it's the same thing is true today with each of us. And when we're in those trials and tribulations, when you're going through things that are going to test you, remember that the tests that you face are there just like your mother's words to you. They are there to perfect you or to correct you. My mother's way of correcting me was to tell me that my daddy was coming home. My father believed in old-fashioned correction. He had a razor strap, which he didn't use to sharpen razors with. My mother knew that she could hang this over my head. And so she did. But those were to correct me. She also had a way of perfecting me, because she would urge me to my better self. And that is what Eunice did for Timothy. That's the hope of each of us and the promise of the gospel. You to train up a child in the way he should go, and in his old age, not in your old age, but in his old age, he will not depart from it. He'll come back to it, because as he ages, he begins to see how wonderful your testimony really was. The first duty of every mother and grandmother is to teach their family about what God has meant to them. We need to evangelize our families. Timothy did not come to faith in an evangelistic meeting with a high-profile preacher. Sometimes people will say, well, I came because of Billy Graham. I remember a story that Billy Graham told in a small group that I was in one time. And he said that he had gone to Ireland. And as he went to Ireland, he wanted to make sure that he kind of hid who he was. And so he put on a cap and he kind of put up his collar and would go in these various pubs where the people were. And he would be standing there. And as they came around one pub, there was a guy outside and he was drunk and he was Irish. Okay. And so he was full of a spirit, but it wasn't the Spirit of God that he was full of. I think it was old Bushmills or John Jameson, but whatever it was, and don't ask me how I know that. Whatever it was, he was out there at the bar and he was talking. And Billy Graham stopped beside him and he said, have you ever thought that you should give your life to Jesus Christ? And the guy said, well, I have thought about it. And I tell you what, I'll give my life to Jesus Christ the moment Billy Graham himself asked me for it. Off came the hat, down came the collar. Billy Graham asked him to accept Christ, and the guy had no place to run. Sometimes that's what it takes for some of us. You know, Eunice was someone who brought Timothy along in the faith. Think about how hard it was for her. She was in a culture that did not honor God. It was a pagan culture. And so her child would go out like your child goes out and be influenced by the media and by all these things we just say are terrible. But she made sure that that child knew about the faith that she had because of the Old Testament, and that they were looking forward to the Messiah. She did everything she could to make sure. Now, Timothy wasn't circumcised as a baby because his father wasn't Jewish. He wasn't bar mitzvahed because your father had to be Jewish in order for you to go through that at 15. You could not do that. You couldn't become a man in the Jewish sense. He was not going to a rabbinical school like all the people did in Jesus' time. Everybody who lived in Israel went to a rabbinical school. Peter went to one. All of his brothers went to one. You went to it until you were old enough to go out and either choose to go into the rabbinical side or go into the possession of your father's business. And so people made a decision, but it was after they were 12 years old that they made that decision. Timothy never had that. He was not taught to memorize the Old Testament, except by his mother and grandmother, who taught Timothy the things of the gospel, the good news, that a Messiah was coming. They taught him Bible stories. They didn't have a Bible themselves. They didn't have the text. But what they did have was a remembrance of the story and the living God right there with them. You have that too. You may not have all the knowledge in the world, but you have the Holy Spirit of God, which can lead you into all knowledge, the Bible says. Eunice was probably a single mother. You know, she was raising a kid by herself. Now, we think that perhaps, we don't know from the biblical record, but we think that Timothy's father was dead. And so his mother and grandmother had to raise this boy. And they did such a wonderful job that the expression of his faith was one of genuine, sincere, unhypocritical faith. He had grown up believing what his parents, his mother and grandmother, had taught him. Those lessons gave Timothy a good foundation on which to build. They gave him a foundation of love and sacrifice and faith in God. That's what a mother or grandmother's role is. Today, each of us want to repay in some small way the sacrifice of our mothers. I know that my mother went without new dresses and things so that we would have clothing sometimes. I know that she didn't ever even think that was much of a sacrifice. It was just something she did. My mother went and taught school so we would be able to go to school with the clothes we wanted to wear, even when she had cancer. My mother shrank 4 inches in the last 3 years of her life because the vertebra in her spine collapsed, and yet she would put on a harness and she would go and teach because that income that she made went to her children. She loved us. She took us to church when my father wouldn't go. She wanted us to know what the foundation of our faith was, and I got it not from the Sunday school class, which I used to skip. I'd go to the drugstore next door and eat peanut butter crackers and drink Dr. Pepper with the money I was supposed to give. If my mother had known that, I would have faced my father's strap. But I'm confessing to you that when my mother died in my presence, when I was alone with her, it was the Holy Spirit of God that was there. It was God that gave me the courage to look out of that window that night and say, "Lord, she suffered so much. If you're ready to take her, I'm ready to let her go." She didn't live another minute after that. My mother meant a lot to me, because she gave me a foundation of faith. Not faith in the hypocrisy of the church that I went to, where all the women wore hats and smiles that meant nothing, and we had a big church that didn't do anything for people, wasn't there to help the homeless, wasn't there to feed the people, wasn't there for anything except to get a little comfort themselves from time to time. The pastor was such a legalistic pastor that I wouldn't even let him preach my father's funeral because I knew that he would send my father to hell if he had his way. I saw hypocrisy there. But what I saw in my mother was the real faith, a faith that was unshakable. Some of you may have had that kind of experience too. You've been brought up with a mother who was a godly mother or a grandmother who was a godly grandmother, and you've known how incredible that was. Some of you are perhaps celebrating this day for the first time without your mother or your grandmother with you. She's gone on to be with the Lord. I know that some of you have. But the fact is that we know that because of their faith, they are with the Lord and want us to come right up there with them. That's the role of a grandmother or a mother. There's a story about a woman who visited a mother, and the mother had 4 children, and the woman said to her, "Oh my, I'd give my life to have a family like this." And the mother looked at her and said, "Well, that's what it cost. You have to give your life to your children." And those of you who have children that are grown up, perhaps they're adults, you realize that they never stop being your children. No matter how old they get, if they're 63 years old, you're still their mother, aren't you? And they're still your child. Anda raised her kids basically alone after her husband died. They've gone into the missionary service. They're serving God. Because she raised them knowing God personally and passing her experience on to them. That's what all of us are supposed to do, men and women, is to pass on what God has placed in us, to give ourselves away. Mothers and grandmothers give themselves away every day, just like Jesus. Jesus said to us, "All you are weary, come." You know, I know that there's not a mother here who has a child who hasn't come to Christ who wouldn't think this was the greatest gift you could possibly give, is to give your life to God as she has. And so we're going to give an invitation. If you really feel the Holy Spirit calling you, if you have a genuine experience, then we invite you to come and celebrate what God has gifted to you, a message of love, which you may have gained even at your mother's feet.